ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading Canto 5, Chapter 2, The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra, verse 14. Yo sau tvaya kara saroja hata patango. Dikshu brahman brahmata eja takshini me. Muktam nate smarasi vakra jata varutam. Kashto nilo harati lampata esha nirim. Yo sautvaya kara saroja hata patango. Dikshu brahman brahmata ejyate kshini me. Brahman brahmata ejyate kshini me. Muktam nate smarasi vakra jata varutam. Kashto nilopata esha nivim. Next, please, Prabhu. Dikshu brahman brahmata eta kshinime. Ladies, yo sautaya kara saroja tango. Ya, which, asau, that, tvaya, by you, koja, with the lotus palm, hata, struck, patanga, the ball, dikshu, in all directions, Brahman, moving. Brahmata, restless. Ejayate, disturbs. Akshini, eyes. Me, of me. Muktam, scattered. Na, not. Te, your. Smarasi, are you mindful of? Vakra, curling. Jata, of hair. Varutam, bunches. Kashta, giving trouble. Anila, wind. Harati, takes away. Lambata, like a man attached to women. Esha, this. Nivim, lower garment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My mind is already restless, and by playing with a ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Purport. The girl, Purvachiti, was playing with a ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose, and the belt holding her clothes was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidra tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Meritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Akanda Mandalakaram Yapta Yena Characharam Tatpada Narshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Katanchana Smirte Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismirte Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanya Namamitam. By remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most difficult thing becomes the most easy. So I take shelter of remembering Lord Chaitanya. Yasya prasadat agyupi sadhya sarvagyatam rajetsa Sri Chaitanya devame bhagavan samprasidatu. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be merciful unto me. By His grace, a fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Vaigunya kita kalita paishunya vrana pidita dainyaranave nimagnoham chaitanya vaidyam asraye. I am bitten by germs of material defects, and I am covered by boils of envy. Therefore, immersing myself in the ocean of humility, I take shelter of Dr. Chaitanya, Chaitanya Vaidyam Asraya. Krishna Skviraj Goswami Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Many years ago in BBT, when Gopi Parandana Prabhu was living in our BBT temple, in one lecture he said that a disciple should ask his spiritual master one important question: what is my biggest maya? And this is a very good question, because it helps us to focus on what we should work upon, and makes us realistic, and also gives us a hint what is our task. So I thought, oh, next time I see my Guru Maharaj, I will ask him. And this is such an intelligent question. It's, you know, it's been suggested by such an intelligent devotee. Srila Prabhupada's disciple. And so next time I saw Guru Maharaj, I said, Guru Maharaj, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. He said, what is my biggest maya? He looked at me and said, same as everybody, uncontrolled mind. You know, what's? Do you think you are very special? You have some very unique biggest maya? Uncontrolled mind. So Agnidra here is complaining. My mind is already restless. So is it a familiar problem to some of us? Restless mind? And he is looking at a very attractive girl, Apsara, who was actually sent by Lord Brahma to him, who selected, and it's not even Apsara from Indra's retinue, it's an Apsara from Brahma's retinue. So it's a completely different, it's even Indra's Apsaras are amazing, but what about Brahma's Apsaras? Yeah? And he selected her specifically, sent to Agnidra, so she was perfectly matched. And you can see they are both seducing each other. I remember once Niranjana Maharaj was speaking to some brahmacharis, and some brahmacharis said how to avoid some relationship or mutual attraction with ladies. And he said, well, you see, people in this world are going around, and if a lady is on a lookout for a partner, then she's going around, and it's like a, you know, like some kind of a boy or a boy, BUOOY, like, you know, some radio
device.
Homing device. Yes, thank you. Some homing device, and she's sending out, you know, like some beep, 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 you know, it's like scanning, radar, you know, like radar scanning. And he says, if you as a brahmachari happen to receive that signal, beep, beep, and use the response, beep, 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 it locks down. Then it's difficult. So, he said, be careful, don't send out these signals. Because, you know, we have grown up in a, many of us, many of you are very lucky, have grown in a very chaste culture. Many of us have grown in a not so chaste culture. So, this is our habit. We always, you know, send out these signals. Beep, 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 beep. Do you like me? Do you like me? I like you. And even a brahmachari who tries to avoid being attracted, I remember asking this in one class, brahmacharinis also, or ladies, married ladies, or something. Then even when he sees some attractive person of the opposite sex, to counteract this attraction, they very often, or we very often, I very often, will you know, see something that attracts me, and then in my mind I will say, her ears are too big. Something is wrong, you know, something is wrong with her. You know, somehow or other, you know, she's not really that right, that correct, that good, or he's not that good for me. But actually, this is the same thing. You know, it means that I assess. It means that if this person maybe is not good, it implies that maybe somewhere else there can be someone who is very good for you. And because romantic love doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside, just like any love, it comes from our projection, our ideal, we project our ideal. If we are in the mood of checking out, of selecting, this is good, this is not so good, this is better, this is not that much, appropriate for me, then it's the same enjoying mentality. Whether I say, if I say something is bad, it's also an enjoying mentality. Yes. So the real protection or the real chaste mentality is not checking out, is this person good, is this person bad? Right? As Prabhupada is saying, man is good and woman is good. Yeah, both are good in service of Krishna. But when there is some improper combination, it may become not so good sometimes. Right? So here we have the classic scenario on a very high scale. This is just the very beginning of the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. And I'm sorry, I'm telling you, when I read this for the first time, I was aroused. Yes, I felt my mind was agitated just reading this. So why? Because actually this is just an erotic, very erotic story about a very romantic occasion between a powerful king and, you know, kings. They are always the heroes of romantic stories. And Apsara, it's, you know, some divine girl, a goddess. Right? It's a romantic story par excellence. It's the ideal example of a romantic story. So why on earth the Bhagavatam gives this story for us struggling sadhakas to read? When we try to develop our Krishna consciousness, you know, it doesn't even mention anywhere, you know, in the beginning or in the end, where does it say that he was thinking of Krishna, she was thinking of Krishna, or it's a romantic story. So the Bhagavatam is a perfect school. And since the biggest maya of most of us, conditioned souls, is a restless mind, this is the lesson we need to learn. How to pacify our mind. How to make our mind pacified and clean and fixed. Actually, this is the definition of yoga. Yoga Chittavritti Nirodha. In Patanjali Yoga Sutra, or a very similar definition in the sixth chapter of the Gita. Making your mind completely peaceful. Chetu. Yes, make the mirror of the mind completely peaceful so that you can see Krishna in that mirror. So this is our task, to make the mind peaceful. And if the school is teaching you something, the school wants you to learn something, then how does the school make sure that you do learn certain things? What's the universal approach to making sure that students learn something, some specific points? There exist what? Exams. Thank you. We need exams. We need exams. We need tests. You know, if the teacher says this is going to be on the test, you think, oh, what? Which? This? Oh, okay. Let me learn better. And if we prepare for the test, we prepare the questions for the test, and then if it is on the test, usually this is something we will remember. I actually made some experiments in some schools without exams. And lo and behold, surprise, it turned out that in that school, that those particular students didn't learn that much. No exams, no need to remember. So tests are to help us. And oftentimes you have midterm tests, surprise tests, what do we have? Pop quiz? What is it? Pop quiz. Surprise tests. You know, like you come into the class and the teacher says, put down your textbooks, open your, or he gives you some papers. We have a surprise test. Ah, Hare Krishna. And we tremble sometimes. Bhagavatam needs to make sure that we, first of all, learn control of the mind. Second of all, we have a realistic picture of our mind, our level. And for that purpose, the Bhagavatam helps us. Jai Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Radha Shama Sundar Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. So therefore, you can see in the Bhagavatam, periodically, at regular distances, you have some tests. This is mentioned by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, for example, where he says that Shukadev Goswami tests Parikshit. In the sixth canto, you may remember this is from this is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction. Parikshit Maharaj says, after hearing the fifth canto and hearing about some terrifying descriptions of the hell, hellish planets, Parikshit Maharaj says, how can people fall from hell? And Shukadeva Goswami says, prayashchitta. They just do prayashchitta. They just do some ritualistic rituals, ritualistic ceremonies, purificatory rituals, and they avoid hell. And that's it. That's what he says. But that was a test. That was not a correct answer. He said it as if it's a correct answer, but it wasn't. And Parikshit Maharaj says, but Prabhu, Maharaj, we see that people make prayashchitta and then sin again. Just like elephants take bath and go put dust on themselves again. Kunjara shochava. So Shukadeva Goswami then says, tacharyena, shamenacha, damenacha. He gives him the purifying methods of Jnana Yoga, but then finally he said, kechit kevalaya bhaktya, kevala bhakti, shuddha bhakti. This is the real thing. Vasudeva, kechit kevalaya bhaktya, Vasudeva parayana. Agham dunvanti kartsnyena niharam yava bhaskara. Just like the raising sun removes fog, even a few days ago, very heavy fog, but you know, by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, it removed the fog. So in the same way, pure bhakti removes all sin. So that was one midterm test, sixth canto, beginning of the sixth canto. At the very end, at the very last words of of his instructions, Shukadeva Goswami again tests Parikshit Maharaj. He says, so now you have heard everything, so now meditate on Brahman and be fixed in oneness and don't fear death. Hare Krishna. That was, again, a test. Yes, so you're one. And Parikshit Maharaj, again, passes that test with flying colors, as they say. He says, thank you, yes, I will meditate on Brahman, hearing about the wonderful Krishna Lila. I will meditate on devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So he shows the proper understanding of what's Brahman, what's absolute truth. So this is for Parikshit Maharaj. There are also some tests for us. So this is one of these tests here. So you can see, you can read some very romantic, very attractive story and see, is your mind becoming restless and attracted to this? And can you properly control your mind? Can you pacify your mind? Can you see this in proper perspective? Okay, Agnidra is a Prajapati. He has to. We are one of the Varshas ruled by his, named after his son, one of his sons, Ilavrita Varsha. Yes? Ilavrita Varsha, later was called Bharat Varsha. So these nine Varshas of Jambudvipa are called after his and her sons, after the sons of Agnidra and Purvachiti. He is a son of a great devotee, and this is part of this universe, and even more, what is described here is not sinful. Even though he is manifesting, he's acting as a very expert seducer. He manages to describe all the beauty of Purvachiti without going into vulgar tone, without going into some obscene or lower level descriptions. He describes her breasts, he describes her lower garments, he describes her everything in such a way that it looks a very civilized, very beautiful, poetic discussion, which certainly will attract the mind of even such an elevated apsara as Purvachiti. So she's attracted, she's attracting him, he's attracting her. But this is part of this world. And in this world there are many things which we can choose. Is this something that we want? Is this our choice? Do we want something like this? Krishna can arrange. Krishna can arrange everything. Devotee will be given all the blessings. Devotee will be offered everything. Yes? On the way through this universe. As Bhakti Lata is growing, it grows through all the planets. So a devotee will be offered temptations and blessings. There will be maybe some money, there will be some fame, there will be some maybe relationships, power, status, name. So all of these things are offered. All of these things, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur calls this Tarangarangini. And the further you advance, the bigger are the temptations. So we need to make our mind decide what is our goal, so that with the help of this goal, we can remain satisfied. And this is the solution. This is the solution to the restless mind. So how to purify the mind? In the 10th canto, when Nanda Maharaj celebrates the birth of Krishna, he gives a lot of charity. There's amazing amount of cows and gold he gives to the brahmanas, and actually to everybody. It's even the lowest members of the society were completely satisfied with charity, with all kinds of things. So in a verse there, Shukadeva Goswami says, Kalena snana shochabhyam sanskara istapa sejaya sudhyantidana santushtya dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. He says, how different things are purified. How land and material, other material possessions are purified by time. So even if there was some place where dirty things were happening, if sufficient, this land becomes clean. The body is purified by bathing. That's pretty much clear. How the birth is purified. If some of us think that our birth could have been higher, if you think that our birth might be more pure. So this, the birth is purified by samskara. Janmana jayate shudra, by birth everybody is shudra, and by samskara, samskarat bhavet dvija. We have also some dvijas. Birds are also called dvijas. They also take two births. One as an egg and one from the egg. Yes. The senses are purified by austerity. Wealth is purified by charity. So if you are getting some wealth, then it has to be offered in charity. And how the mind is purified? By satisfaction. The mind is purified by satisfaction. This is actually the second rule of yoga, the second niyama of yoga. You must be satisfied. Santosha. It's your duty. It's your duty to be satisfied. So in the West, this is not a very clear concept. We think in the West, in the modern Westernized culture, satisfaction is something that happens if I get something, right? If they give me enough food, I'm satisfied. If they give me enough of this, I'm satisfied. That's the idea. But there is a big difference between pleasure and satisfaction. Pleasure doesn't result in actual satisfaction. What is pleasing today, tomorrow is already normal, ordinary, nothing special, and it stops satisfying us. So satisfaction is actually your decision. This is our decision. We can decide that yes, this is enough. Whatever is there is okay. It is okay. It is sufficient. In many languages, satisfaction is, in fact, even this word satisfaction is derived from the word enough. The English word satisfaction is derived from the Latin word sat. Sat means enough. In Slavic languages, удовлетворение, задовольство, coming from the word довольно means enough. In many languages, vergnügen, genug, German. So many languages, satisfaction, it's an open secret. How to be satisfied? I have to say, whatever is there is enough. Doesn't mean I do nothing, sit and do nothing. We perform our duties, but whatever comes, we consider this is enough. And Krishna is pleased with this quality. Even though it's a famous quality, even Chanakya Pandit says in his Niti Shastra that there are three things that one should be satisfied with. Santosha strishu kartavya. What should one be satisfied with, according to Chanakya Pandit, is svadare bojane dane. With one should be satisfied with one's wife, or vice versa, with one's husband, with one's food obtained by providence, and by wealth, which comes as a result of our performance of duties. Perform our duties, whatever wealth comes, we are satisfied. And three things, he says, trishu chaiva na kartavyo. You should never be satisfied with three other things. You know, what are the three things you should never be satisfied? Some of you know, Jagat Guru is smiling. You know? Yes? Yes, he says, japa, by your chanting, you should never be satisfied. By? Yes, danayo, by how much charity you have given. And one more? Study, yes. Adhyayane. You should never think that, yes, I have studied enough. Yes, I have chanted enough and well enough. And yes, I have given, more than enough charity. You know, I have given 3 rupees in the box. It's come on. What else do you think? So he said. So even materially, you can see that this is a very good quality. However, this is not just a material quality, because Krishna, when he gives his Bhaktashtaka in the 12th chapter of the Gita, 8 verses glorifying, and he says that any devotee who even wants to be like that is very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is very happy by a devotee who maybe doesn't even have these qualities, but wants to have these qualities. He's more happy with such a devotee than with someone who is perfect on another path. So in this list, he mentions 2 times. Santushtya yena kenava, yamad bhakta Samepriya, Bhakti Manmepriya Nara, that one who is satisfied with anything and everything, whatever comes, he's such a devotee is very dear to me. Or Santam Yogi, Mayarpita Mano Budhir, Yumad Bhakta Samepriya. It's verse 14 of chapter 12. A devotee who is satisfied, always satisfied. A devotee who is always satisfied. So two times he mentions this one quality, satisfaction. So this is... So now you know. So now it should be simple, right? So whenever the mind is restless, whenever you need to control the mind, you just have to be satisfied. You just have to say, okay, whatever is there is okay, is enough. Otherwise, Vamanadev, if you remember, says to Bali Maharaj that if one cannot be satisfied with three steps of land, then the whole universe, all the land in the universe, all the women in the universe, and all the grain in the universe will not satisfy this person. I sometimes mention that some pretty rich personalities like the founders of Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, and they are director, Eric Schmidt, I think he's no longer director, no? Eric Schmidt, or Michael Dell, founder of Dell Computers, and quite a few, there's a club of such people who are very rich and who can get incredible amounts of money, and they have fixed their salary. Of course, they have some shares and so forth, they already have some wealth, but their salary, from what they do, they have fixed at $1 a year. They fixed it that our salary is $1 a year. Because otherwise, it's never enough. You can never be satisfied. If you want to have 1 million, if you have 1 million, you want to have 100 million. If you have 100 million, you want to have a billion. But then you have a billion, what is this? 1 billion, you know? 1 billion is still not so reliable. You want to have many billions. And then something else. So we need to learn to draw a line somewhere. And in our language, this is called surrender. We accept whatever is the situation we are in. This is our secret technology. In Yoga Sutras, Patanjali says that if you just practice this one rule of yoga, satisfaction, you will achieve happiness. This is one of the rewards from practicing santosha. And our secret technology of getting the mind controlled, avoiding restlessness and coming closer to Krishna is to surrender. And surrender, sometimes we think that surrender means that we grab Krishna's feet and surrender, Krishna, please, I surrender. And I need this. I surrender, Krishna, to you. You are my shelter. I need this. However, surrender, by definition, means that we accept whatever is there. Goptritve varanam tatha. We accept Krishna as our master and maintainer. You accept that whatever Krishna provides is perfect. And this is just your decision. Nobody can forbid you to decide this. You should not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Oh, if I decide that this is enough, I will not get more. Maybe on the contrary. First of all, Krishna is happy with such devotees. And second of all, it's just a decision. If you will not be happy being satisfied, then you can decide differently afterwards. You know, if you don't like, you can decide differently. You can decide something else. And in the fourth canto, Narada Muni tells Prachetas, Dayaya Sarabhuteshu Santushtyayena Kenava Sarvendriyopasantya Chatushyetya Sujanardana. Janardana, the Lord in the heart, is quickly pleased with you. Tushyatya Ashu Janardana. Quickly, Ashu, pleased with you if you practice Dayaya, compassion or mercy, Sarvabhutishu, to all the living entities. And of course, Srila Prabhupada explains that the best mercy is to give Krishna consciousness in form of the books, in form of kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And in form of Krishna conscious instructions, which can grant one fearlessness. Which can grant one fearlessness. Understanding that Krishna is our friend. Krishna is our friend. This is, again, what is mentioned in the fourth canto, at the end of the fourth canto. Savai priyatamas chatma yato na bhayam anvapi iti veda savai vidvan yo vidvan sa gurur hari. There it says, there is nobody who is more dear friend to the soul than the Lord, than Krishna. There is no better friend than Krishna. And there is not a slightest fear or danger from his side. Yato na bhayam anvapi. There is not even anu, even an atom of something to be afraid of from his side. Iti veda, if you know this, savai vidvan, you are learned. You really are learned. And if you know this, you are a guru. Yo vidvan sa gurur hari. And you are in one team with Krishna. You are on Krishna's side. You are in one team with Krishna. So this is the ultimate wisdom, to know that Krishna is our friend. And therefore, we can surrender to him. We can accept. We do our duty. We do the best to please him. However, we are satisfied. So this is the best knowledge we can give to others. This is the best charity you can give to others. Also, to accept that Krishna is the best friend from whom there is no fear. Yatona bhayamanapi. And dayaya sarabhuteshu santushtya yena kenava, being satisfied with anything and everything, and sarvendriya pashantya chav, pacifying all the senses. And that again we do by engaging in Krishna's service. So these three, by these three things, tushyatyashu janardana. Janardana, the Supreme Lord in the heart, is quickly satisfied. So if we want to quickly satisfy the Lord, if we want not to be restless and disturbed by the beautiful sights of this world or terrible sights of this world, if you want to be restless, then we need to learn to surrender. To surrender to Krishna, who is the best friend, and learn to say, I am satisfied. Learn to accept that whatever is there is okay. It is okay. The very word okay is very funny. If you ever think of the etymology of this word, they say that this word, okay, two letters, used to be the signature of the proofreaders of the newspapers and some other editorial material. When they sign the copy for printing, they write O.K. to Hare Krishna. Jnanananda Maharaj is there on the case, and Chokidar went there. Yeah. Yes, so okay, written by proofreaders, used to stand for all correct, and it can be printed. All is correct and it can be printed. But if you have the minimal knowledge of English spelling, that you, then you know that all correct is not spelled with O and K. So it has a like a joke included that it's all correct, all O-L-L, correct, K, correct. In other words, you know, it's okay. Things happen. Material world, there's always something outside, inside, in between. But we need to be able to say okay and move on. Do the best we can and depend, and do the best and depend on Krishna for the rest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay. Any comments, questions, points, discussions? Madhaji? Do we have... Actually, I can hear. I can maybe repeat.
Chastity of women, yes.
Oh, we hear that, we always hear about chaste dress for women. Is there an equivalent for men? And behavior. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you for bringing this up. Yes. As I mentioned about this raiders, Niranjana Maharaj, yes, that oftentimes it's not even conscious. You know, we are just like, it's our upbringing that we send signals, you know. Be like me. And the men also, they will... it's also inbred very often in our upbringing that we will always try to impress others. Yeah, man always tries to impress others and look for approval. And even if in the beginning you don't look for approval, then somebody says, "Oh, you're so nice, you don't look for approval." And then next time, I'm already, you know, did you notice? I'm not looking for approval. Did you notice? So we have to resurrender, find, you know, temptations, as we grow, and our maya can become more subtle and more insidious or difficult to detect. So in terms of dress, as far as I have heard from ladies themselves, they don't seem to be much impressed with men's bodies. So, you know, on the contrary, you know, if a man shows his, puts on shorts or something, I heard from some Matajis that it looks horrible, you know, these hairy legs. So that for does not, how to say, arouse them at all. So in terms of dress, it doesn't seem to that there is much of in general. But in terms of behavior, yes, we should be extremely careful. That's why you can see even that in the classic society, in or we can say that beginning of Kali Yuga or ancient society, the lady's guru was her husband. The lady's guru was her husband. That was her guru. Yes, because if someone offers protection or care to a lady, it may create a certain relationship. Which may be not completely spiritual. Yes. However, you know, in this day and age, in all ways, women become more like men, men become more like women, and even women need an initiation for growth. Even though traditionally it was considered that woman does have enough challenges in her body, in her life, to be humble. But nowadays, a woman needs to undergo initiation and needs to undergo a samskara to also get an inner transformation and becoming more humble in surrender to Krishna. And so that's why you can see that women are given initiation more and more. And this may create some dangerous situation in terms of men teaching women, preaching to women. Yes, some lady will see some man and will say, "Oh, you are such a your lectures are so nice, so powerful. It really helps me." And the man feels, "Yes, let me help you more," and then some accidents may happen. So, on the side of the man, one careful not to slip into the role of a male caretaker of the lady, male caretaker, and very, very seriously keep to the role of emotionally unentangled. I couldn't say uninvolved because he is involved. Unentangled helper at a certain distance, because it's very easy. It's very common that men who give advice or who help, they will tend to develop some relationships with those who they take care of. However, for example, in a psychiatrical association, one is kicked out of the association if one, for example, marries one's patient. If a psychiatrist marries one's patient, then he will be considered as disqualified to be a member of the American Psychiatric Association. So it's these are different roles. Although they, at some point, they can overlap, or not overlap, can be similar. So in that sense, men should be very careful not to provoke ladies and not to create false hopes in ladies they are counseling or guiding or giving advice to, and make it always very clear that this is about spiritual advice and spiritual knowledge, protection through giving bhakti, and not, let's say, direct psychological only protection. Right? So yeah, this is a big topic. Actually, it's a big topic especially for our society. We need to go as our society. We are basically moving into some uncharted territories. Sometimes, like sannyasis initiating lady disciples and giving instructions to lady disciples. So that requires extreme caution. Even though you do have some examples of this, maybe, for example, Narada Muni instructing Prahlad's mother. Yes, we do have some examples of this, but it requires caution on the man's side also. Okay, there was a hot question. Some other points, questions? In terms of... Yes, ma'am? What's the difference between ego and false ego? Before... before we do any devotional service, like for example, before one goes on the altar, one is supposed to do bhuta shuddhi, self-purification. And there is a classic form, I'm not this body, I'm not earth, water, fire, the mind, and so forth. And there is a very devotional, beautiful bhuta shuddhi by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pivaisyo na shudro naham varni na cha grihapatir no vanasto yatirva kintu pradyannikila paramananda purnam ritabdher gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasa nudasa. I am not a brahmana, but I am not a shudra, but I am not a vaisya, but I am not a kshatriya. I am not a brahmachari, but I am not a sannyasi, but I am not a grihastha, but I am not a vanaprastha. So who am I? So materially, nothing. I'm not identifying with anything. And even in terms of spiritual organization, you know, four spiritual levels, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. These are spiritual ashrams, right? So even in that sense, I should be ready to be nothing, not claim a status for my enjoyment or for my suffering, the other side of enjoyment. And instead, kintu, but. So that was false ego. And it can even grow. Ego is so omnivorous. It can eat, digest anything and everything. You know, I can be proud of being a brahmachari. I can be proud of being a lecturer. I can be proud of never giving lectures. I can be proud of being intelligent. I can be proud of being foolish. Oh, Prabhuji, I'm foolish, I just do this. I can be proud of anything. I can be proud of being an older devotee, or I can identify as, oh, I am a young devotee, don't ask me to give lectures, or something. These are false identifications, temporary identifications, although we do respect the differences. Take them into account. And Shri Gauranga says that, Kintu, I am of the Paramananda, of the supreme bliss, unlimited ocean, of full ecstasy and bliss. Nikhila Paramananda, Purnam Ritabde, the ocean of nectar. Of him who is the Lord of the Gopis, I am servant, dasa, dasa, no dasa. Just, and not just some specific servant, not only temple president servant, you know, not only a cook servant, but just servant. And this is something to be done not only once, but actually again and again, because again, it grows, these weeds are tending to grow again and again. And we need to again find some, false identification, which disguise the difficulty. These weeds, puja labha pratishta, they disguise themselves as bhakti lata or something spiritual. Yes, my reputation is a spiritual asset. I need to cultivate my reputation for preaching. Okay, sounds maybe correct, but then for this reputation, I'm doing some stupid things. I'm suffering, or money, power. The other side, poverty, I will not touch money, I will not earn money. Yeah, this is the other side. This is the story of Sudama Vipra. Jiva Goswami says, it's in our BBT Bhagavatam, that Krishna gave Sudama Vipra a huge palace because his last little attachment was any little ego of being, oh, I'm a poor renounced brahmana. Yes? You remember this. So that's why Krishna gave him a palace which is better than Indra's palace, with emerald floors. Can you imagine emerald floors? And sapphire walls. So it's mentioned in Sarada Darshini, Sudama Vipra still slept on the floor. He was sleeping on the floor. But, you know, if you're sleeping on an emerald floor, you will not be, you know, too proud. It's already more difficult to be that proud. So the progress, I mean, the sadhana means that we Find and surrender. Find these false egos and surrender. Find and surrender. Dasa, dasu, anudas. Shashinanda Maharaj says that this is cure all. This is a medicine which helps. This is the mantra that helps him. That whatever disturbs him, he remembers, I am Krishna's servant. Krishna dasoham. Dasoham. I am a servant. And then you can be peaceful. I'm not the controller, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the sufferer, I'm not the victim, I'm a servant. So I serve whichever way Krishna allows. And there is always, it's always possible to engage ourselves at least in the service of trying to satisfy Krishna by offering him lovingly chanted names of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much.